And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braddon. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, how's Walt Disney treating you, Shane? It seems like you've been on vacation for about a month now.
Oh, it feels like it, man. This the last day we did? And I'm done. I'm ready. I'm like, now we can start vacation now that all that walking's done.
Well, speaking of another man, Shane, who I can tell does not like walking a whole lot. Obviously, we hit on this on the last podcast. Jim Chaney got a 3-year deal from Tennessee. That's been made official since we've recorded. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on this, Shane. He got a 3-year deal, which is, you know, that's fairly standard nowadays for high-profile coordinators. But he is getting $1.6 million on average. He's getting $1.5 million. The first year, 1.6 the middle year, 1.7 the third year. Mm-hmm. That would make him the highest paid offensive coordinator in the nation. Just what are your thoughts as a Tennessee fan with Jim Chaney getting that kind of huge deal?
Oh, man, I don't know, man. To make him the highest paid, he's in essence the highest paid coordinator, right, in the country?
Well, offensive coordinator? Offensive, yes, but there's a few defensive coordinators that are paid a little bit more.
I mean, yeah. I'm all for it, and I don't know. I read some of your comments and on the Reddit page, and I thought you hit the nail on the head there. Like, we had to pay somebody like that more money to lure them away. It makes sense. It's not like people are just beating down the doors to coach at Tennessee right now.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about this, Shane. Obviously, you know, with the no football games, we've got a long off season. We've got a lot of time to discuss stuff like this. But I think at the end of the day, this was basically the best hire Jeremy Pruitt can make for the fact that he's getting a guy on so many levels for so many reasons, Shane. He's been to Tennessee. He knows what he's getting, you know, before he comes to town. He already knows what he's getting himself into. He's been successful at Tennessee. He's been successful at Georgia. He's even coached in the NFL. So there's no concern in my mind that he's doesn't know what he's doing, that he doesn't know play calling, that he doesn't know how to coach up a quarterback. And hell, it seems like I don't have the stat in front of me, but I think I tweeted this out the day he was hired. I believe he's had 9 guys rush for over 1,000 yards since 2013. So he can get the running game going. So there's just so many things. And you're right, he's not the best offensive coordinator in the nation. Yeah. Even though he's getting paid like that. But Tennessee is in a state where they have to overpay to attract these people, and they're getting a guy that it doesn't seem like he wants to be a head coach. So it's not like he's going to leave Tennessee to be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless someone offers him $2 million next year, he's probably not going to be leaving Tennessee the entire time he's signed on to be a coordinator there. So there's stability. And that's another big thing Tennessee needs. The only thing, so I want to be fair and go to the flip side of this, because Georgia fans are right, and I've said this before Chaney was hired, he is a guy, well, you could say this for basically all coordinators, I think, but when you're paying a guy that much, maybe you want a little bit more, but for the simple fact that it seems like his production goes with how much talent he has, and I know that's an obvious statement, but you know, it's not like he coaches down to the level of his talent, but, you know, there were times at Arkansas, his offenses were not that good. When he first got to Georgia that first year, they were not that good. They were ready to run him off. But then, obviously, with more experience there and stronger quarterback play, stronger offensive line play, I mean, they took a significant jump that second year. So I don't anticipate him coming in, Shane, and just making Tennessee's offense great, because they have those offensive line issues.
Right.
There's still plenty of Tennessee fans questioning Jarrett Garantano if he's the guy. I think that's stupid, but A lot of people are questioning it. So until, you know, we see a little bit more consistency from Garantano, I don't anticipate Tennessee to have one of the better offenses immediately. Now, 2 or 3 years down the line, I think it's certainly possible.
But, I mean, I don't think we're going to see the same bland product we saw on the field last year. I mean, that's what was most frustrating. It was just seemed like we were going to keep running right up the gut until it worked, or we were going to keep trying to throw these little screen passes on third down. It just, I don't know. It just, the offense was so predictable last year, and you saw where it ranked. I mean, it was almost like 120, I think. So anything different, stretching the field, letting Garantano throw it a little bit, I think we're going to welcome that. And like you said, one of the best things about, like you said, Chaney, is I don't expect him to get a coaching spot anywhere. So this could be a relation. This could be a marriage here between Pruitt and Chaney that could last, you know, a decade if all goes well.
Now let's move to Georgia, Shane, because obviously now they don't have an offensive coordinator. They don't have a defensive coordinator either. So it's interesting to see where Kirby's priorities lie. There's a lot of rumblings that he may try to steal Tosh Lapoy, the Alabama defensive coordinator. Now, his stock took a big hit on the national championship game. Obviously, they had no answers. How much to that is Tosh? How much is that, Nick Saban? Ultimately, that's Nick Saban's defense. So I think most of the blame's got to go to Saban. But Tosh is, I mean, he may be the best recruiter that's not a head coach in the nation. So that would be a huge get for Georgia. I don't know how realistic it is. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's the rumbling out there. So that would be kind of big. But also in the news, Shane, offensive coordinator, obviously with Jim Chaney gone, there's a hole there for Kirby, but conflicting reports here. I want to be fair. I give it both sides of it, but multiple people reporting that Georgia offered Eddie Grand, the Kentucky offensive coordinator, the position. And then Eddie Grand has tweeted out, you know, I'm staying. He said he's staying.
Right.
And it's funny how when someone turns down a deal that he was never offered. So that's what other people are saying now. So what are your thoughts, Shane? Maybe we don't really know if he truly was offered, but that's, like I said, that's being reported by multiple people that Georgia was interested in. At least Kentucky Sports Radio, Matt Jones, was officially reporting that he had been offered that job. And now, for sure, Eddie Grant is not going to take it, according to what his latest tweet there on Thursday evening. What are your thoughts on Georgia potentially getting either turned down by Grant or just the fact that they're interested in him?
Well, Mike, you know, the thing about Eddie is, you know, I follow a lot of Kentucky people, and all season long, it's like there's half people that love the guy, there's half the people that don't. And when the news came out that he may be looking at this Georgia job, there was a lot of fan base saying, good, you know, maybe we can open up our offense now that he's gone. But the fact he comes out and he just boldface says, you know, I'm not taking the job. He just shut down the offer. So whether you believe that he was offered the position or not, I don't find it convenient or coincidence that he comes out today and just says he's staying with Kentucky. So I think maybe he had some feelers out there, but I don't know, man. Here you got Kentucky. I just think if that did happen, I mean, isn't that crazy? Take a step back. If a Kentucky offensive coordinator turned down a coordinating spot at the University of Georgia, I mean, would you ever think that would happen? Like 2 years ago, if I told you that, you'd call me nuts, man.
No, I would. That's, you know, that was my initial reaction. I can't believe that this is happening. I don't know what that says. Maybe Kirby Smart, maybe tough to work for. But, you know, going back to what you first hit on there, Shane, I really like that point, and that was one I wanted to hit on. Just the fact that the truth is no one is damn happy with their coaches when they don't win at all. Yeah. You know what I mean? Clemson's the only one that loves their coaching staff right now. You know, Jim Chaney goes to Tennessee. Georgia fans says he sucked. They're glad they get rid of him. I guarantee you, and this was before Eddie Grand was even thrown out there as a potential candidate at Georgia, Kentucky fans, the majority of them will be glad he was gone. And I think it stems from the fact that Kentucky really struggled in that Georgia game. They backed that up with the Tennessee loss that was pretty humiliating. And fans just hold that against guys. And why Georgia fans, you know, they're holding it against Chaney that they can't beat Alabama. Well, my God, Shane, there's only one team in the country that can beat Alabama these days, and they're Clemson. Yeah. You know, and Jim Chaney didn't have a great game plan against LSU. You know, they just completely overlooked the fact that the following game against Florida with the division on the line, he, you know, put together a masterful game plan, but he sucks. Yeah. You know, so forget all that. That's just the fickle nature of fans. Hell, Tennessee, I think, was – I don't know if they were happy Jim Chaney left, but there was times during his tenure they weren't happy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they couldn't beat Florida. So it's just the nature of it. People are just not happy until – you know, unless they're winning when they shouldn't or winning the entire thing. But it is funny that you say that because that really hit home with me. And so that's not the only movement we got around the SEC, Shane. A lot of movement. You know, we mentioned Alabama there, potential defensive coordinator potentially leaving to Georgia. That's being thrown out there. But two guys that are officially gone from Alabama, receivers coach Josh Gattis, who was only there for 1 year. He was supposed to follow Mike Locksley up there at Maryland. Apparently, he flipped that Maryland offer to Michigan. He's going to Michigan. They stole him away from a division opponent. So that was
oh,
some
wow.
shocking news there. And this is a big blow, too, Shane. Offensive line coach Brent Key, he has left Alabama for Georgia Tech. And his offensive line, Shane, back-to-back years, they were semifinalists for what's called the Joe Moore Award, and that's given to the nation's top offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hell of a recruiter down there. Both these guys are great recruiters for Alabama. Now, I think a lot of people would be good recruiters for Alabama, so I don't know how much that says about them, how much that says about what, you know, they've built up there. But what are your thoughts on that, Shane? Alabama losing, you know, their receivers and offensive line were outstanding this year, and both those coordinators or position coaches are gone.
That's a big hit, man. I mean, you know, that's something I didn't see coming. I didn't see the offensive line coach leaving, and especially for a Georgia Tech spot. But what was crazy about the whole going back to Chaney leaving, people at Georgia didn't care about Chaney. They were more worried about Pittman. And you talking about being worried now. Here's Nick Saban without an offensive line coach. Well, I want to get the best one. And if you ask me, I think Pittman is that guy. So what's to stop Nick from calling him up there at Georgia saying, hey, we want to give you some money so that you can have just as good talent, if not better, down here at the University of Alabama and make a name for yourself? Because people are starting to realize real quick just how great a coach Pittman is.
Oh, no doubt, Shane. I think Sam Pittman, best not only coach offensive line in the nation, but the best offensive line recruiter in the nation for my book. So he's the double whammy there. Yeah, that's out there. You're not the only one saying that, Shane. Nick Saban probably going to key on Sam Pittman. Now, we got to credit Dog Nation. They are reporting that Sam Pittman will stay at Georgia, but hell, Shane, Nick Saban was staying at Miami Dolphins till he left. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that doesn't really hold any water with me. I think we'll have to see until Alabama hires an offensive line coach. I'm not ready to say they're not going to get Sam Pittman. You know, there could be movement on the Tennessee staff. How about this one, Shane? You may find – I don't know how you're going to take this one, but there is speculation that Alabama, one of their top targets, if it's not Sam Pittman, can you take a guess who that might be?
Probably Friend.
Yeah, Will Friend, Tennessee's offensive line coach.
Oh, my God.
And I saw that. I'm trying to think of who did that. I think that was Alabama 24/7 put that out there. I saw one of the – there was a Tennessee fan that commented under the article, and they said, bring me Sam Pittman.
Wouldn't that be crazy? I mean, think about it. We still coach from Alabama. Friend comes up here. They still – and then now we take Chaney from Georgia. They take – Saban takes Friend off our staff, and then we reach back down to Georgia and give Pittman whatever he wants to bring him up here. I mean, you talk about changing of the guard, man. It's crazy because you got the Georgia staff all over the place. But I tell you, man, let me ask you something, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm hearing a lot of rumblings about Alabama and with the players on that team. Is there smoke? I mean, is there fire with this smoke, or is this just something they're doing since they had such a bad game there at the end? I'm hearing some players are upset, and, you know, they're upset about the running back situation. They're upset about how Tua was the face of Alabama, and Are you hearing any of that? Is this just something to sell articles?
Yeah, that's message board rumor, Shane. I don't buy any of it, and I'll tell you why, because that's the next topic I was going to hit on, staying with Alabama. But I know what you're referring to there. That was posted on Reddit, and I've seen it all over Twitter. But one of the main meat there, that little message board comment you're saying there, it noted how Raekwon Davis basically quit on the team and went renegade, and he's ready to get out of there. And the same day that was thrown out there, Raekwon Davis announced he's returning to Alabama for 2019. So, I'm not putting any stock in any of that, because Raekwon Davis, while he didn't have that great of a year, I think for sure he would have been selected in the top two rounds, if not the first round of the NFL draft. So to see him come back, I'm not buying any of that.
Well, let me ask you another quick question. I'll have the two big dogs here, Alabama and Georgia. Who are you more worried about going into 2019? Just the overall status from players to coaches. Is it more Alabama or is it more Georgia?
Hmm. Well, that's a tough one, Shane, because – you know, obviously, Alabama, we just saw them get smacked, but we've never seen that before. So how do they respond? Are they come out, you know, with guns blazing? I mean, they still have the best quarterback in the SEC. Mm-hmm. They still have the best receivers. They've got tons of linemen. I mean, I think it's got to be Alabama. But at the same time, there's people burying Georgia. I think that's stupid because they're going to have the best offensive line.
Yeah.
I think they've got the second best quarterback. And that defense is loaded with a lot of young talent, and they've got some juniors coming back. So I don't know. That's a great question, Shane. I kind of going back and forth. I'm talking myself into Georgia now, but I honestly think Alabama might be a little bit better, but I think Georgia is potentially going to have an easier path back to Atlanta. So
okay,
I don't know. I'm kind of torn right there.
Okay, well, we got a long off season too, Mike. You know.
A final thing here with Alabama, Shane. So these odds are via BetDSI, but you can actually bet on this, Shane. Where would Jalen Hurts transfer to? And the favorite, Shane, is Houston, which is odd because I think they have a freshman All-American quarterback. And that's when you kind of know some of these odds are not that well thought out. But apparently he's from Houston, so I assume that's why that's a favorite. Maryland is listed there as the third favorite, which that would be interesting with Mike Locksley. I think this next option maybe is the most realistic. UCLA, I think that would be really interesting.
Oh, yeah. With Chip.
But let's jump down to Florida, Shane, which I'm kind of curious to see that they're on here, but they're the seventh best odds. You can go to Florida, and they have the same odds as Tennessee. So Tennessee and Florida right there. And then the ninth best odds, final SEC team here, Texas A&M. What are your thoughts on Florida, Tennessee, and Texas A&M being listed as potential favorites for Jalen Hurts?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I've seen a lot of pictures with – it seems like every time I'm on Twitter, there's a picture of him and Emmett Gooden or some, you know, just one of the Tennessee guys. But I don't know. I don't know. Out of those three – I think, honestly, maybe the Texas A&M's the one I'm interested in, just because I think he fits that scheme better. And
so you would take him over Kellen Mond for sure?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I like Mond. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Mond's bad, but I think Jalen has proved that he can win wherever he's at. So. You know, obviously, if he's at Tennessee, I don't know. I don't know if he beats out Garantano. I think it's very possible. I'd like to see it. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to have two quarterbacks. I'd love to, you know, have a little friendly competition there and you know, put the best guy on the field. And with the new offensive coordinator, maybe that's something they go in with, you know, just, hey, it's a clean slate. Whoever does best, that's probably the two. Florida, I don't know, man. I think Franks is okay, and I really think that the what's his name, the freshman
Emory Jones.
I think that's their future. So I think they're set there. So out of those three, I'd say Texas A&M, Tennessee, then University of Florida. If I'm Jalen thinking about, you know, getting a job here.
Yeah, and you say all that, Shane, but I will add just my two cents here.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance that Jalen Hurts will transfer to a school in the SEC, because I don't think he will want to play against Alabama out of respect to for everything they've done and just the friends and everything that he's got on that team. I don't think he'll want to do it. That's just my opinion.
I got you. I don't think it'll be Houston either. I mean, I just don't, no. I don't see that either. UCLA, I think that would be the interesting one with Chip Kelly and what they're doing out there. So, and plus, I mean, UCLA's a long ways away from Alabama. So that'd be a good move for him.
All right, Shane. Well, speaking of Florida, we were just talking about them. They landed a graduate transfer from Louisville named John Grenard. And for anyone that does not know that name, you know, he missed most of last season. He didn't have much of an impact. But the two seasons prior, Shane, he had 9.5 sacks combined, 22.5 tackles for loss. So this is a very disruptive defender who, you know, since he was at Louisville, he's had some experience in the Todd Grantham system. So he'll be back with Todd Grantham there in Gainesville. I just think that's a nice little pickup there for the Gators.
Yeah, I like what they're doing down there, man. I'm telling you, the Gators are going to be sneaky good next year.
Yeah, and another team that we're kind of high on, Missouri, Shane, they're outstanding tight end, Albert O. I'm not going to even try to say his last name there. He announced he is returning. So he was only a redshirt sophomore, I believe. So, mm-hmm. You know, he's still fairly young. I didn't realize, Shane, he's got 17 receiving touchdowns already in his career. And that's outstanding for a tight end career, nonetheless, two seasons of play. But he missed several games as a sophomore. So him coming back, that's just kind of further the momentum there for Barry Odom's program too.
Yeah, I was not happy about that decision. I was hoping he would go pro. I mean, hell, we didn't even have to face him last year and they hung 50 on us. So, yeah, I was looking for him going to the next level. But, yeah, that's another team, man. I'm really liking what they're putting together. Going to have some sneaky good teams in the East next year, brother.
And speaking of final team in the East here, well, no, we've got two more. Vanderbilt, Keyshawn Vaughn announced he is returning. He was the SEC's leading rusher per carry. So, I mean, a truly explosive guy there for the Commodores. I would imagine with Kyle Shurmur graduating, finally, Keyshawn Vaughn's going to be the centerpiece of the Vanderbilt offense next year. How huge is that for the Commodores?
Oh, man, he's probably going to be my favorite running back next year. I just love the way he runs. Mm-hmm. I love the way he catches. He is an every down back, and I'm kind of surprised he's coming back. So do you think that's more because of the injuries or he just wants to put together a good season? I can't imagine he just wanted to come back for his senior year. It seems like there was a reason. Maybe he didn't like his draft stock or something like that.
Yeah, maybe just the fact that he kind of came onto the scene so late, kind of been in and out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But he really, I mean, that last four or five games, Shane, he may have been one of the SEC's best running backs. If he can do that for an entire season next year, I got to think his stock's going to be incredibly high this time next year.
Oh, for sure. I'm telling you, not a lot of people that listen to this have probably seen a Vanderbilt team unless you've played against them, and Keyshawn didn't get to play a lot last year, but if you get a chance, watch his highlight reel. I mean, this kid's legit.
Yeah, particularly in that bowl game against Baylor. I mean, he just went off.
Hell yeah.
Okay, final note here on the SEC East, Shane. South Carolina, they've named Thomas Brown running back coach, and he was former running back coach and co-offensive coordinator down there at Miami. So, you know, I think the South Carolina running backs, you know, they were all right, but I think this is a big get for Will Muschamp, not only for the coaching aspect of it, but the recruiting advantage Thomas Brown will give him. Of course, he's a former standout running back there at Georgia, and they're keeping Bobby Bentley on staff. That's Jake Bentley's father, but he's going to move to tight ends coach, so he's staying there. But one guy that's not, Shane, the defensive line coach, Lance Thompson, he is being, I don't know if you want to say dismissed, but he's just not being asked to return by, and that guy's a SEC veteran. He's been at Alabama, Auburn. I know he's good buddies there with Jeremy Pruitt. So any thoughts there on Thomas Brown being hired at South Carolina and Lance Thompson being let go?
Yeah, I don't have much insight on that one, but it did kind of surprise me because, like you said, he's been around so long. Mm-hmm. Thomas Brown, I think, is a good get. You know, I think he'll be a hell of a recruiter. He's a younger kid, you know. Maybe that's mm-hmm. what they want, just a little bit of the changing of the guard there, just to get some youth on that staff because they got some oldies, man. But you want to talk about new, brother? What about their breathtaking new facility they just got to move in this week?
Oh, man.
Did you see that?
Yeah, it's a beautiful facility. It will definitely, you know, it adds a lot to what Will Muschamp is trying to build there. You know, they've got one of the best facilities in the country now. They can legitimately say that. I know everyone says it, but when you just open the brand new doors to a facility like they have there in Columbia, I mean, they can legitimately sell that now. And, you know, it's one thing, Shane, I think, to always be selling to recruits and parents and everything, you know, this is what we're going to do, you know, or mm-hmm. showing them pictures and all this. But to actually let them kind of open the doors and walk into that thing, I think, you know, while it's – I don't know if that's really going to win people over. Like, you're not going to win these recruiting battles because you got that building.
Mm-hmm.
I think it obviously helps, and it could – I don't know if this is a tiebreaker, but I think it just says the level of commitment at South Carolina is at the highest, and they have to do that with just being in the SEC East and having to compete for in-state talent with Clemson.
Oh, for sure, man. $50 million. You think they don't like football? I mean, South Carolina is starting to take football serious, and I just hope that they don't fall back to where they were. You know, it just seems like they were – slowly but surely moving their way up, and that's what probably got a lot of this funding for this new operation center. And I just hope that, you know, they do make some changes but keep this thing moving forward. They got their quarterback coming back. South Carolina, again, I've said it three times now, Mike, but we're going to have – I mean, there's going to be some dynamics in the East next year. I just truly believe we're going to have some better ball games coming out of the East.
A final thought here, Shane, on Thomas Brown. This might rile you up a little bit, but he was the coach. You know, he was formerly, obviously, a Georgia player. He was mm-hmm. also a Georgia assistant, and he was the one that reportedly tried to fight Jeremy Pruitt when Pruitt was down there as the defensive coordinator. Ooh. And kind of got into it with Mark Richt, I guess. And I can't remember the specific story, but it was either Thomas Brown or Jeremy Pruitt damn took the ball and walked off. You remember that? So this is the guy. So this is it's going to heat up that South Carolina-Tennessee rivalry even a little bit more because, you know, Tennessee just can't get over that hump against South Carolina. And now here's another reason for Jeremy Pruitt to dislike the Gamecocks.
I love it, man.
All right, Shane, let's jump to the SEC West because we got a couple updates here for Arkansas. Ty Story is in the NCAA transfer portal. Mm-hmm. And what that means, I think we've hit on it a couple times, but for anyone that maybe didn't catch it, what that means is essentially that just puts you in a database that allows other programs to contact you so that you can transfer. You can put your name in that portal and not transfer. So this is not saying that he's guaranteed on his way out, but it's pretty revealing, Shane, that Ty Story's in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other quarterback they had last year, he's already on his way out the door. He's left to, like, Southeast Louisiana or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, Shane. Arkansas, while this guy didn't really look that impressive, he was by far the best Razorback quarterback last year. What are your thoughts on Ty Story being in the transfer portal?
Well, I'm kind of surprised. I thought maybe he would be the one that would stick around and try to win that spot because he actually mm-hmm. did get a lot of playing time last year and at moments looked halfway decent. So I'm a little surprised there. So I mean, let's just say Ty leaves. Who's starting next year?
They had two guys last year, Connor Nolan
mm-hmm.
and then Stephen John Jones, who is the grandson of Jerry Jones.
You think
they both got to play a little bit, but you know, in their limited duty they didn't really impress, and they've got KJ Jefferson, the true freshman, and I think they have to bring in a graduate transfer. I think they have to.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And I thought maybe they already had one on the hook or one that they were thinking about bringing in. But I haven't heard that. So I'm thinking, mm-hmm. is there a lot of praise going to this true freshman that's not even, you know, had a snap yet? So I just think it's a little premature to put your name on that on in the portal, because I think Ty Story actually has a great opportunity to at least start the season. I say finish the season, but, you know, if you get the starting job, you know, it's your job to lose. So I just – that's the only thing, because it felt like he kind of had a little bit of control over that offense last year.
Yeah, now the name that I have touched on this podcast, Shane, the former SMU quarterback Hicks – I always forget his damn first name. Ben Hicks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He was Chad Morris's former quarterback there at SMU, so that would make sense. But I've heard he's visiting, I think it was West Virginia. It was definitely a school outside the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. But sticking with the Arkansas grad transfer market, Shane, you know, much like Jalen Hurts, BetDSI has put odds on another quarterback to transfer, Shane, and the Razorbacks are the favorite. So they may have a little inside information here, but and this guy hasn't even announced his transfer, much like Jalen Hurts, but Texas backup quarterback Shane Buechele, he's the betting odds via BetDSI. The favorite is Arkansas, with Ole Miss being number two, Mississippi State number three. So we're looking at three SEC West teams potentially being in the mix for a Texas quarterback who he's played quite a bit under Tom Herman. He lost his job to that guy from the Sugar Bowl. It was not the same guy as started the Sugar Bowl for Texas, but
yeah.
This is a guy that's come in and played very well. I say very well. I think I looked up his stats. He had like 21 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. So he's not, you know, he's a stopgap, but I think if he went to Arkansas, potentially he would be their starting quarterback.
Well, then maybe that's what's happened, Mike. Somebody's tipped off Ty's story off a little bit. So, you know, heard Morris at the urinal talking about his new quarterback. So you might as well put his name in the portal. So somebody said something, because you don't just put your name in the portal unless you know something. And it sounds to me like, you know, if there's smoke, there's fire, and there's fire coming up, and it's coming up from Texas.
You think there's any chance, Shane, that they potentially – asked him to do that so that they would have a better shot at landing a transfer quarterback? Do you think a coach would think that made that far ahead or not at all? No,
I think that's dirty, man. I mean, that is next. I don't see that happening. I think this is something he was tipped, or he's heard something, or he's talked to someone and they said, hey, listen, we're going to be bringing this guy in. I don't want you to get sideways. You still got a chance to win or whatever. But I think that's more what happened. Now, I don't think Coach Morris, he's slick, but I don't think he's that that dark, you know. That's just evil, man.
All right, Shane, that's all the news I got around the league, but I did want to hit on this real quick. So in the latest FACA convention, and for anyone that's not familiar with that, that stands for American Coaches Convention Association there. They have an annual meeting where they discuss rules and make recommendations. And these are the guys, Shane, that came up with the 4-game redshirt rule, you know, where you're allowed to play in 4 games now and keep that redshirt. So they don't pass NCAA rules, but what they do is they recommend rules to the NCAA, and then the NCAA decides if they like them, and they tend to, you know, either yay or nay it. But the most interesting thing to come out of the convention this year, Shane, the AFCA has come with a proposal to amend the targeting rule that I really like. They want 2 targeting calls. Targeting 1, which is a non-malicious hit, and that will still be a 15-yard penalty, but basically, you know, that's when a defender hits another player in the head, but maybe it by no means meant to do it, or just maybe the receiver ducked his head at the last second. Like, I don't know how they're supposed to officiate that. And then the other one would be targeting 2, and that would be malicious intent. It would be a 15-yard penalty, automatic ejection like it is now. And the only other amendment here, Shane, if you get multiple target 2s, so the malicious intents, the suspensions could be longer. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's great, Mike. I'm not big on adding penalties, but the one of the most frustrating penalties that exist today in college football is the targeting rule, Because how many times you watch in a game and it just, I mean, it's a split second. You watch it in slow motion, it's so quick. And then the heads are lowered. Next thing you know, your key player is ejected from the game from an accident. So I definitely agree with this rule. This is something that Muschamp talked about. Golly, I think it was week two against Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, this is something that they've been kind of talking about for a while. And the red card, yellow card, or whatever he called it, I think it's a great move. Like I said, I'm not big on adding rules, but this one right here does need to be addressed, because when you remove a player that is at a key spot on your defense, and, you know, I mean, it could ruin the following game, a game that you're not even playing right now.
Right. And I think one of my least favorite things of the whole damn targeting rule, Shane, as the way it currently states, I hate when they make a guy leave the field, particularly when he, like, does it, you know, it's clear that he by no means was, like, trying to take a guy's head off.
Mm-hmm.
What in the hell is the point of kicking a guy out of the game? I mean, just, you could, like, just physically take his helmet or something if you want to be that stupid, or just keep track of who it was. I mean, the refs are not that stupid. They're not going to just let a guy just walk back out there, so...
Yeah,
I just think it's asinine how they just make the guys slowly walk off the field. I mean, it's like stupid.
Like the walk of shame, Mike. I agree with you, brother. But there's part of it you kind of like watching it, especially if it's against the opposing team. You're like, yeah, there goes so-and-so, you know. So now we should be all right. But they do get them all fired up and stuff. But I'm with you. It is kind of bad.
All right, final thing, Shane, I got here. I just wanted to run this down with you. My SEC power rankings, I do these, you know, I do this on a weekly basis, but I did it immediately after the national championship game and just wanted to get your thoughts on it. And this is not anything to do. I basically erase the 2018 season that we just had. And this is how I view these teams now and moving ahead to 2019. And if they met on a field with their new recruits, you know, their seniors gone, the new coaching staffs, basically if they met on a neutral field, this is the team ranked ahead of the one below it, I think would beat them. So that's all this is. I'm going with Alabama number one, although you may have talked me into Georgia number one. I got Georgia number two, Texas A&M number three, Florida number four, LSU number five, Missouri number six, Auburn number seven, South Carolina number eight, Tennessee number nine, Kentucky number 10, Mississippi State 11, Arkansas 12, Vanderbilt 13, and Ole Miss 14.
Okay. You know, Mike, honestly, I like the list. I think 3, 4, 5, and 6 could really go either way. And, you've got A&M at 3. As much as it crushes my soul as a Tennessee fan, I'm liking Florida at 3 and Missouri right behind them. I just think their path, both Florida and Missouri, have an easier path to a better season. And I think if these guys met, I think that they would at this moment. Now, like I said, this is way early. That's the only thing I see it really stands out. Maybe.
Well, for these, I try not to project too far with the schedule, so I'm not really looking at stuff like that.
So this is like if they met and played today, you would see this team beating that team.
Right. And a big reason why, you know, I've had a lot of people, Florida A&M, they're asking me about that one, but I really like Kellen Mond compared to Felipe Franks or Emory Jones, and I really have a lot more confidence in the Texas A&M offensive line. I'm a big offensive line, defensive line kind of guy. And that's the only separation between those two, because I agree. I think Florida could easily be flip-flopped with Texas A&M, but that was just kind of the tiebreaker. And not to say Felipe Franks is terrible, but I just like Kellen Mond a little bit better there.
Yeah, just like you said, just way too early. I like the – I could go with this list. I mean, like I said, I could see him going either way. That Arkansas, why are you so high on Arkansas all of a sudden? I mean, they were at the not trying to put our Arkansas fans down, but they were at the bottom of the cellar all season long. I get Ole Miss lost some talent. I get Vanderbilt doesn't have Shurmur anymore. But what makes Arkansas jump them two?
Well, I'm obviously very low on Ole Miss. I think they're going to be terrible, but I think in the second year of the Chad Morris program, I think he's going to have a lot better understanding of the players he inherited.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll have kind of weeded out the players that don't belong. I think that locker room was really fractured with the guys still loyal to Bielema and the guys that are bought into Chad Morris. They're bringing in about 30 players through recruiting, and I think they're all going to play, basically. I mean, I really do. And it's not to say because the entire team's terrible. I'm not saying that. But they just need a serious upgrade of speed at basically every position. So I think they're going to get all those guys on the field. I think they're going to be fun. I think they're going to make, obviously, a lot of mistakes. But I think they're going to surprise some people, particularly if they get a quarterback. I mean, I did this list before I knew Ty's story had put his name in that damn portal. But if they get some quarterback production, Shane, their offense, I'm not going to say take off. I think that's too strong. But I think you're going to start to see what it is that Chad Morris was brought in there to do. I just think the quarterbacks were so damn bad last year, they were unable to do any of it. So I think that really held them back. And I still have a ton of faith in John Chavis. Not necessarily to have a dominant defense, but I even liked some of what they did last year. He just didn't have any players.
And
the players he did have, there was no depth. So there's going to be a little bit more depth there for the Razorbacks. I think they'll do pretty well. I've had a ton of Mississippi State people come at me. I've had them all the way down at 11. Kentucky all the way down at 10. Both those fan bases are pretty pissed off at me. But, I mean, I'm just projecting what I'm seeing here. And kind of like you, Shane, Mississippi State losing a ton on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't really have any confidence in that offense based on what we've seen so far. So I just can't really put them that high right now. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to have that dominant of a defense next year. I think it'll be solid, but just not on that same level. Kind of the same with Kentucky. They're going to lose a lot on defense. I mean, they lost Benny Snell. They're losing some linemen. And Terry Wilson is going to have to be the guy that the offense revolves around. I certainly think with Eddie Grant, if he does come back, like he says, you know, he'll have him playing a little bit better. But still, that's going to be an up-and-down team. And I don't think they're going to fall off a cliff like some are suggesting. But, hell, Shane, if you're 10th best in the SEC, you're looking at it like Auburn last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn beat the Pac-12 North champion. I think it was the Pac-12 champion. They beat the Pac-12 champion and smoked Purdue by about 100 points in the bowl game. So 10th best in the SEC is still probably right around the top 30 in the nation.
Just hypothetically, if the season ended next year this way, 1-14, the rankings that you have for the power rankings, which coach or coaches loses their job?
Well, Matt Luke will already be fired.
Yeah.
I know that.
I think so.
That's the main one. And maybe Derek Mason under that new AD. But, you know, Vanderbilt, they always seem to surprise. So there's a chance maybe they hold on to him. But, yeah, if it goes like that, maybe.
You think Gus is out at 7? I mean.
No, not with their contract. They're just going to hold on to him.
What about Muschamp? You think he's getting any pressure? I mean, they haven't done anything. I mean, like we just talked about, they just spent $50 million in the football complex. So they're getting him the coaches he wants. I mean, if they don't see the season, they got the senior quarterback coming back. I mean,
right.
Is there a chance that maybe he's looking at a hot seat next year?
I certainly think he would be if they finished this low.
Mm-hmm.
And I think – I don't want to say he's feeling hot seat, but I think some fans are really disappointed with their finish this year. But I don't know, Shane. I'm just you know, if Mark Stoops has taught us nothing else there at Kentucky, I think some programs you just need to invest a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm not trying to offend South Carolina here, but they're not going to land like the next Urban Meyer. You know what I mean? So if you can't get that guy, and we've seen that Will Muschamp can get it done for there in Columbia, and he's doing a really good job recruiting. He's not elite, but he's not poor either, so he's kind of right in that middle. I think he's got to have, obviously, a better showing in a lot of these big games. He's got to be more competitive with Georgia, more competitive with Clemson. As long as he's not getting blown out in these games and he's, you know, above 500 in the SEC or right at it, I think you got to ride with him and just kind of let him steadily build that thing up, because I do think he's a great coach. And I don't know, I just think he's a good fit for that program, and he seems really bought in there.
Good stuff, Mike. Good stuff.
All right, yeah, I think that'll do it for this one, Shane. You got anything before we jump off here?
No, just appreciate everybody hanging out with us, and especially those ones on iTunes that gave us a rating and review. You know, the off season's upon us, but we're still going to be firing these things out 3 times a week. I'll be back home Saturday, so we'll be definitely back on schedule for sure after this. I think everything's kind of settled down with the holidays. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we will see you.
All right, Shane, thanks for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols. I mean, yeah. I'm all for it, and I don't know. I read some of your comments in the on our shit, Mike. I've been walking all day. Give me a second here.
Reddit page there, maybe.
Yes.